As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Straight out of Cobham, a show about Chelsea FC from The Athletic. On this episode, hooray, the takeover is just about complete. Changes afoot in the academy, we revisit our pre-season predictions, and there's a four-way quiz available for free wherever you get your podcasts and ad-free on The Athletic. For the final time this season, this is Straight Out of Cobham. New era for Chelsea and a final SOC of the season means it's a full house today. I'm Matt Davis Adams. Alongside me, I've got Simon Johnson, Liam Toomey, Dominic Fifield, and Sam Parkin. Hello, all.
Howdy. Hello,
do we have government approval for this podcast?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, possibly. For months, you've heard us say there's only one place we can start today, blah, 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 takeover. Well, hopefully for the last time, there's only one place we can start today, blah, 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 takeover.
Right, some breaking news to bring you now. And the UK government has issued a licence that permits the sale of Chelsea to the Todd Bowley-led consortium.
After almost 20 years, the Roman Abramovich era at Chelsea is almost over after the sale of the club was approved by both the Premier League and the government.
The governments have granted a licence for the club's £4.25 billion sale to go through.
The Premier League club was put up for sale in March before its owner, Roman Abramovich, was sanctioned over his links to the Russian president, Vladimir Putin.
So at long last, the British government has approved the £4.25 billion takeover of Chelsea by a consortium led by LA Dodgers co-owner Todd Bowley. The news came out hours after the Premier League had announced that the consortium had passed the league's owners and directors test. So that's it then, Simon, all done and dusted?
Yeah, get your party poppers out. Yeah, we're just awaiting the official announcement. But yeah, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, it's... The new era is about to begin, and I think as I signed off from the last pod, all of us can't wait for that, for us to talk about something else.
Liam, you've written about what is first on Todd Bowley's to-do list. I mean, from your perspective and from everybody's, really, I guess, is the overriding emotion just relief that you can start to report about football? You know, Chelsea followers will feel that the club is safe and yeah, we can move on.
Yeah, I think as from a journalist's perspective, I think we've all just got a bit bored of the story. It's, even though it's been moving at apparently a breakneck speed, according to club takeovers, and especially considering how complicated this all is, it's just felt like an absolute marathon. And so for me personally, I'm excited to start covering the stories that will emerge from here. You know, the more conventional football club stories, who they're going to sign, what they're going to look like next season, who's going to be making the decisions. Those things are much more interesting to me than has someone greenlit this massive, complicated financial transaction that everyone's been arguing about for 3 months. So, and from the fans' perspective, it's clear there's been a lot of fatigue, an awful lot of fatigue with all of this. And I always thought Chelsea were going to be fine. It was in no one's interest to let the club go to the wall, but clearly it has been a stressful time for supporters as well, and now there is finally some certainty.
Moreover, it's a relief for the club employees, isn't it? I mean, I would have thought, given all the members of staff that have been fretting over their futures and their future employment and the freelancers as well.
Thanks for the shout out in the piece, Liam. I did appreciate that, Sam and I, I'm sure. Sam, if you're Cesar Azpilicueta, are you banging on Todd Bowley's door and saying, what's happening with me? Am I staying? Or are you just kind of, we'll give it a couple of weeks, see how things settles? Players don't really want to be that involved with owners anyway, do they?
I think that's probably changed the landscape a little bit. I think there's relationships there that maybe weren't there 10, 20 years ago. I'm not so sure. It doesn't feel like he's 100% made his mind up. I'm sure the guys have probably got a bit more better insight than me. But no, you'd probably allow him to just get his feet under the door and then go knocking. But I think everyone should be excited. I'm sure the supporters are. It sounds like it's going to be a very different approach, and it's been a brilliant trophy laden last 20 years roller coaster. But I think everyone will be optimistic that this new look Chelsea in time can be back challenging, and excited, really excited. You know, I think my friends that are Chelsea supporters are really enthused, and waiting to see who they can bring in, I suppose, first and foremost.
Let's get to some questions that have come in via Twitter. I'll put this one to you, Dom. I think it's a really good one from Jonathan, who asks, if the Todd Bowley era ended in 19 years' time, how would we define it as being a success, and what would need to happen for us to compare it to the Roman era? Is it winning more league titles, a move to a new stadium, the reduced turnover of managers, etc.? The general theory is it's not going to be wildly lavish as it was in the Abramovich days. So how do you define success in this brave new world?
Is a really good question. I think when people look back at Abramovich's time, they will choose to ignore the 900 grand that was lost every single week, effectively, over that 19-year period, and look at the number of trophies claimed. I mean, that's the silverware that was the most, probably going to be the most glittering period in Chelsea's history. It would, the Bowley Clear Lake era would be going pretty well to eclipse the number of trophies that Abramovich secured for Chelsea. So maybe it does come down to stadium development, stability, a different kind of culture within the club, whether that be managerial, stability on that front, longer terms. I mean, I don't even know whether that's in the modern game, whether that's very common anywhere particularly. You know, do managers stay more than 2 years at most clubs? Probably not these days. But maybe more structure in that sense, more longevity, more long-term strategy, and also more sustainability financially. You know, a business that I mean, clearly are going to want to make a return eventually. They're not going to want to hemorrhage money in the way that it did under Abramovich. The point was made that maybe Abramovich should almost run Chelsea as a hobby and Clear Lake will run it as a business, which will have implications on the pitch and off the pitch. But I still think it can be a successful and brilliant period in Chelsea's history. And it's exciting. It's exciting because it's new and fresh and different.
Simon, here's one for you. I know that you did some reporting on the stadium rebuild, really as part of the Ricketts bid. James asks, what's the likely timeline for work to start on the stadium rebuild, which was an integral part of the takeover bid? It's going to happen fairly soon, but maybe not at the very top of the list of priorities?
I wouldn't have thought it was the top of the list, no. The first sort of thing to address is the squad. The squad needs rebuilding more than Stamford Bridge does. The stadium, technically, there's nothing wrong with it, is there? You know, yes, it's a bit old, doesn't look as bright and shiny and lovely as the Tottenham Hotspur stadium does, but...
What are we talking about you, then? You look...
I haven't been bright and shiny for a long time. certainly not new. Could do with some investment, but... might take quite a loan, though.
Not too many hedge funds lining up to pump money into the Johnson brand at the moment.
Naming rights. What would the naming rights be? Right, anyway, let's get back to the question. I'll blame that on Dom. Right, so, look, this is a really complex subject. Yes, I spoke to who was going to head up the Ricketts redevelopment plan. And the guy that I spoke to was sort of saying, this is really, really complex. This is not going to be sort of this summer, they sit down and start knocking walls down. I'd be very surprised if they start doing anything in the first year, to be honest, because they've got to come up with their own plan. If they go stand by stand, which is probably the most likely option that they choose to do. That is a really, really complex project. I mean, I'd be quite interested to know from Chelsea fans, what would their priority be? You know, because it's very difficult to have a brilliant squad and a brilliant stadium at the same time. There's a couple of London clubs that can vouch for that. So what is their priority? You know, would they sacrifice success on the pitch for a lovely stand to sit in? I think, given that Chelsea sometimes, even when there were no restrictions on ticket sales, struggled to sell out games sometimes, you know, is the demand there to justify a huge ground? I think if I was a Chelsea supporter, I'd be wanting the owners to invest in the squad first, and anything else is a bit of a bonus.
Well, that leads me nicely on to this question from Mikhail Liam, who says, how quickly can the club start offloading / buying new players after the takeover? As soon as it's rubber stamped, I assume, Thomas Tuchel's going to be knocking on the door saying, here's that list of players that I gave you, let's get some of them.
Well, in theory, they can start having conversations and making moves for players immediately. And especially if they keep the current football structure in place. So Marina Granovskaya in charge of player transactions and the scouting network headed by Scott McLaughlin. I know they've got quite a polarising reputation among Chelsea supporters. Chelsea's recruitment has been a bit erratic in recent years, some hits, but some very big misses as well. But given that the transfer window is upon us, this is not the time for new owners, particularly new owners that don't know European football. You know, Todd Boehly's an experienced sports owner, but he's got a baseball background. It's not immediately transferable. So I think they will be trying to rely on the people that are already here to help Chelsea hit the ground running in this market. They're already playing catch up on a lot of other big clubs. And they've got a lot of work to do, as we can see looking around the squad. So I think there probably will be changes to Chelsea's recruitment operation in the sort of medium to long term, because I think Boehly and Clearlake will absolutely evaluate the efficiency of every single department of this club and look at ways they can streamline it and from a cost point of view as much as anything. But in the short term, I think for Chelsea to get done what they need to get done, I think they're going to lean on what's already in place.
There you go, Rob. That answers your question about the bonuses paid to Buck and Granovskaya being early golden handshakes or expected to stick around. Sounds like they might be sticking around for a while at least. Our next question comes from S. Parking.
Yeah, I was listening to some chaps on an Athletic podcast, far more intelligent than me, and they were speaking about American owners specifically buying European clubs and having an effect on the playing style. I wasn't a huge follower maybe of Thomas Tuchel before he came to Chelsea, but do you think that could be a possibility to kind of mirror what Liverpool have done and in teams in the Bundesliga and make Chelsea a bit more energetic, front-footed, high pressing? Liam?
I think what we might see is, you know, probably what they have in mind when they're talking about Liverpool in particular is a joined up recruitment operation with the play style. So you're recruiting players that can play a certain style of football for a certain coach. And Tuchel comes from that high energy German school. And so he is kind of he is in the most progressive branch of European football coaching at this point in time. The problem is quite a lot of this squad aren't necessarily best suited to playing that way or to the system that he's currently got in place tactically. So I think what we'll probably see over time with the new owners is they'll try to rejig the recruitment system to serve a certain vision of how the team wants to play football that will certainly be informed by the way Tuchel coaches, but also if one day Tuchel leaves, maybe they hire a coach that thinks along similar lines. Whereas in the past, it's felt like every Chelsea coach has been the opposite of the previous one. And that has created problems all of its own. So, yeah, I don't know if that's a full answer, but that's the best answer I come up with.
And it kind of leads me into our final question, which comes from Andrew. I'll put it to you, Simon. How long will it take to implement the winning, efficient growth and value-led culture that Bowley and the guys love? It sounds like Bowley's going to be a lot more hands-on than Roman Abramovich. So you'd think that the dots will be easier to join from that perspective, kind of down the food chain toward Thomas Tuchel, and that ought to help in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think some perspective should be applied here. I don't think we're going to be seeing Todd Bowley on the pitch every week like we saw last Sunday. He's got his own job to do. He actually, when I wrote the piece about Todd Bowley a month or two ago, and found sort of things he said in the past about how he runs not just the LA Dodgers, but companies generally. He's talking about, I find the best people to run it and let them get on with it. And I think there's going to be a strong element of that. Yes, he's certainly going to be the more vocal member of the board compared to some of the other faces like the Clear Lake Capital guys. But as for sort of how successful they'll be, I mean, I'd love to have a crystal ball, but I think that the reality is that they're taking on two of the best sides in Premier League history. And I think despite, you know, the feel-good factor of winning a Champions League, Chelsea still haven't been able to close the gap. Yes, there were obviously mitigating circumstances through the season, but the gap basically between them remains the same, that consistency level. And that comes down to the squad. We've touched upon already sort of how much work needs to go into this squad, both outgoing and incoming. It's going to take more than one window to fix. So I think Chelsea fans have to be realistic here. I'd be very surprised if this time next year, get the quote ready, Luce. Play this back to me next May. But I'd be very surprised if Chelsea are winning the title next season. Very, very surprised, because as good a manager as Tuchel is, the gulf in quality is huge in terms of that consistency. They're a good side, Chelsea, but becoming a consistent league-winning side, and been lucky enough to have seen five sides win the title under Abramovich. But yeah, there's quite a bit missing for them to bridge that gap.
Dom, are you going to allow that? Simon's just walked all over your Dom's predictions corner.
I'm judging by what's about to happen when we go back to the pre-season predictions, I'm more than happy for this. Yeah, go for it. Quite so. Simon, have my mantle, please. Just take it on.
We know who the real king of predictions is, and it's Lucy's dad. And you know it's serious when Lucy's writing in the shared doc in all caps. She's put, "My dad said Chelsea won't win the league again in his lifetime," 3 exclamation marks, brackets. "He is old now," close brackets, which is sad for a number of reasons. So let's move on from the takeover and finish with some fun. Later, we're going to do a quiz. Next, though, we're revisiting our pre-season predictions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, so way back when, aka the start of the season, producer Lucy produced a series of questions designed to humiliate us slash give us something to look back on and chuckle at this stage of the season. I can now reveal the questions and how we answered them. So we'll do the questions one by one and then I'll give the points taken.
I don't remember this. I don't think this happened.
The first question, who will finish higher in Serie A, Maurizio Sarri or Jose Mourinho? The answer was Sarri, as predicted by Liam, Sam and Dom. So nil points for me and Simon there. The next question, who will score more goals, Tammy Abraham, Olivier Giroud or Michy Batshuayi? Obviously, Tammy was the runaway winner here on 27. The other two got 14 each. Me, Simon and Liam on point here. Dom and Sam went for Michy Batshuayi.
Oh, man, that deserves taking away 2 points, let alone...
Bit of Palace bias there, I suspect, from Fifield. Question number three. Who will finish highest in the Premier League? Mark Gerhey and Conor Gallagher, Armando Broya and Tino Livramento, or Billy Gilmore? Gerhey, Gallagher and Palace was the correct answer here. No surprise that's what Dom plumped for. Kudos to Liam. The rest of us thought it'd be Southampton.
No way.
No points there, yeah. And related
to that... I
blame
Hasenhüttl.
Related to that, which of those players will make the most Premier League appearances? The correct answer was Conor Gallagher, as predicted by Simon, Sam and Liam. Dom went for Mark Gerhey. I said poor Billy Gilmore. Remember him? Bless him. Okay, nearly there. Which currently unemployed ex-Chelsea manager will get a new managerial position first? AVB, Frank Lampard or Antonio Conte? There were 10 bonus points on offer here if you could correctly guess the club. The correct answer was Antonio Conte, took the Spurs job in November. Sam, Liam and I all went for Conte, although we all thought that he would rock up at Arsenal. So no bonus points there. Simon said Lampard to Southampton. Dom said John Terry to Forest, just a needle me, and then Lampard to Newcastle, neither of which were right. And then the final question, predicted league finishes of the following ex-Chelsea managers, Carlo Ancelotti and Rafael Benitez. None of us predicted that Rafael Benitez would be sacked. Weirder still, we all had him guiding Everton to a top half finish. Which might just be the worst collective prediction I think I've ever heard. A point apiece here to me and Simon for getting Don Carlo as the top dog in La Liga. Everybody else said that he'd finish second. Yes, Dom?
Can I just revisit the old Gallagher-Gerhey question? What was the question?
Who would play the most games, make the most appearances? Who will make the most Premier League appearances?
Okay, what was the answer?
The answer was Gallagher, he says, frantically checking.
No, Gerhey made 36 and Gallagher made 33.
Oh, he's brought stats. He's brought stats with him.
Well, yeah.
34 appearances, 33 starts and one substitute appearance. Gerhey started 36 games.
Well, Gallagher couldn't. All comps
it was,
Chelsea,
Matt, wasn't it?
It was all comps. Premier League. It was Premier League.
Even if it's all comps, Gerhey wins.
Training sessions, Matt, wasn't it? I'm wary of this.
For you listeners, Dom has picked up the cricket bat.
Yeah, and it's starting to be wielded now.
Have I lost one of the few points I got?
No, you haven't. And actually, I've added it up fine, listeners, so don't worry, it's fine. It doesn't affect the final outcome, which is that the winner is not Dom, despite that, although you do get the point. There was a maximum of 15 points available, but that was if you got the 10. So, you know, none of us did. So effectively, it was from 5. Don't think that Gerhey mistake discredits this competition at all, particularly when I tell you that the winner was Liam Toomey. And it actually says this on the spreadsheet that Luce made with these questions at the bottom. There is a quote from Liam saying that making predictions is a fool's game. So either you're a fool or you're good at predictions. One of the two. But well done, Liam. We'll see if you can defend your crown last year. By the way, Matt, that's me. Simon and Dom got 3 points. Sam got 2. So work to do ahead of next term there, Parkin. We'll do something similar for next season and it'll go just as badly as that did, I'm sure. Elsewhere in Chelsea news, big changes at the academy. It was announced on Wednesday that Mark Robinson will take charge of the development squad next season, with Andy Myers moving to work with loan players. Sam, for those of us who weren't knee-deep in League One last season, tell us a bit about Robinson's Wimbledon. I mean, maybe focus on the start rather than how it finished for him.
Yeah, well, he was part of the furniture at Wimbledon, I think, all the way from under 10s, I think, under 11s, and worked his way up to be the first team manager. And when he initially took the reins, there was a big shift, I felt, and going into this season, that this was going to be a Wimbledon who played a lot more football than the previous regimes. Initially, they really picked up doing exactly that, high energy, but also took care of the ball a lot more. And I think this season, probably the way the results tailed off dictated that Mark Robinson kind of went away from that. He was, I thought, badly, I don't know if it's advised, but I felt they were really poor in the transfer market. The only one plus really was Luke McCormick last year, in all honesty. So he didn't really have the tools at his disposal, hence why he was replaced by Mark Bowen, someone who played a even more agricultural style towards the end of that season. So I think he probably went away a little bit from his ethos, but it's someone who got a vast experience working with younger players. I'm sure Neil Barth probably has had a long-standing relationship with him going back years, would have known him, and it'll be about improving the youngsters. And he'll have the opportunity to be flexible with his systems and formations, which he wasn't at Wimbledon. He was a kind of 4-2-3-1 man, but he did integrate a lot of younger players into the side, which obviously I think was the remit at Wimbledon this season. So, listen, I think those Chelsea jobs for people like Andy Myers is kind of like a 3-year cycle is how they do it anyway. So, you know, Andy wasn't going to be in that job for 5-10 years. That's not how they work it under Neil Barth. They kind of move around, and there's obviously been a bit of a reshuffle, but he comes with good pedigree of working with younger players, and I'm sure he'll be a great addition.
Just a quick add-on, because you know, Sam touched on it right at the end there. Don't forget that Chelsea, there's been a few that have left the loan technical department as well. Chelsea have lost Flo, Ferreira, and so on. So inevitably, there was an easy sort of way to make this shuffle work. And it's a very important job, you know, being part of that loan technical department, dealing with the kind of players that Andy's going to be already worked with. So he's already got that relationship going. So it makes a lot of sense from his point of view too.
He's steeped in Fulham, actually. He started his career in the youth team at Fulham as a player, and then was released. Actually started coaching again once after setting up a soft play centre with his wife for children locally in Earlsfield. But he does have a connection with Chelsea from back in the day, in that he used to do voluntary work with shifts as a stadium tour guide at Stamford Bridge. So he has got that loose connection. But I went and saw him early in his time at Wimbledon, when he actually had made such a great start, actually, behind closed doors in the lockdown season. It's sad to see how it all petered out so badly this time round. He will always be cherished, I think, at AFC Wimbledon for the work he put in there. But I think he, as the boys say, I think he will make an impact at Chelsea and enjoy working with the younger kids there.
Yeah, he's obviously got an incredibly strong character if he can not only visit a soft play centre, but actually work there and stay there for a long
time. Imagine cleaning the ball pool every day. Oh, dear.
Horrendous. So good luck to him. And for Andy Myers, let's not forget he led the under-23s to the PL2 title unbeaten in 2020. No surprise, Emma Hayes has been named the WSL Manager of the Season. Sam Kerr got player two. Congrats to them. And to Tammy Abraham, who was part of the Roma side that won the UEFA Europa Conference League on Thursday. Liam, you were telling me his buyback hasn't kicked in yet, but as and when it does, will you be proposing a swap deal between him and Lukaku?
Havertz.
Well, I do wonder if Roma would be prepared to match Romelu Lukaku's wages. I can imagine that might be a big stumbling block. But
the manager at Roma might be a bit of a stumbling block as well, thinking about it, if he's still there.
That's a good point. A very good point. Yeah, so the buyback price is 68 million. Which isn't cheap. It's significantly more than Chelsea let him go to Roma for. He's kind of looked like a £100 million striker in Serie A, certainly if Romelu Lukaku did. I struggle to see him coming back if Tuchel is still at Chelsea, given the way everything ended and the way Tuchel seemed to just completely give up on him months before he eventually left. It just seems very, very far-fetched to me that Tuchel would have changed his opinion of Abraham enough, and that maybe Abraham would be willing enough to come back and play for Tuchel for that transfer to happen. Which is sad in a way, because I do think Abraham is good enough to be a number nine for Chelsea, and I think he's shown that at Roma, and he's rounded out his game in some important ways as well. But the key thing for him is that I think he's got a very, very bright future ahead of him.
Yeah, he's in the England squad alongside Fikayo Tomori. Remember, you can read that brilliant piece that Liam did with Tomori after he won the Scudetto at the weekend on The Athletic now. Reece James and Mason Mount also in that England squad, as is the aforementioned causer of controversy, Mark Gerhey.
And Conor Gallagher.
And Conor Gallagher, yeah. It's a Chelsea-heavy squad that Gareth Southgate has picked. Charlie Musonda has announced he's leaving Chelsea after 10 years. The Belgian midfielder's career has been halted by a serious knee injury. He's 25 now, hasn't played since August 2019. Last appearance in a Chelsea shirt in the EFL Trophy. He scored in a 4-0 win at Swindon in August 2018. He made 7 first-team appearances for the Blues, scoring his only goal on his full debut against Forest in the League Cup in September 2017. Sam, you and I saw a bit of him in the Chelsea youth team. Really sad that this injury's had such a devastating effect. I guess for him, it's going to be about proving that he can still do all the things required of a professional footballer, i.e. train full-time, play full-time. It's not going to be about getting into an elite-level club again, is it? It's just going to be about getting some games under his belt.
Yeah, sad story, really, how it's kind of, you know, unravelled over the last couple of years, because there were real high hopes for him. Someone, he was probably, you know, ahead of his peers for a period, and getting his first team battle. Yeah, technically very good, could kind of glide past people, couldn't he, in his younger years. Always had an eye for a goal. I was probably at that Swindon game, actually, when he was kind of almost at that point, you felt, rebuilding a little bit, having maybe lost his way and had a few of those loan moves that hadn't been particularly productive. So, yeah, just needs to go away now and find a club to build himself up again and hopefully have a successful career, because he's been a bit in the wilderness the last few years.
Just in case some listeners sort of don't really know or know much about Musonda or how good he was being tipped to be, I wrote a piece about a year or two ago, and I spoke to his sort of youth coaches at Anderlecht, and they were talking about him being one of the best youth products they've ever produced. I mean, we sort of, that they had, they were expecting him to be sort of like one of the big European stars right now. So that's the kind of level of player that, okay, injury has been a massive factor, but he was struggling to make strides before he got injured and struggling to fulfil that potential. But they actually expressed quite a lot of regret that he moved to Chelsea too soon. But that's how sad a story it is, in terms of, if you're Charlie Musonda, you were expecting to be a major player on the biggest stage, and now he's just struggling to find a club. It's very sad, and I just hope that somehow he gets a chance somewhere, and he does sort of get to show what he can do, because in terms of ability, you're talking about a guy that can take a player on and beat them and have all that flair and skill, the kind of player that the fans pay to watch.
He was one of three brothers as well, I think.
His dad was a pro as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big, big footballing lineage. Well, I'm sure Chelsea will do all they can to help him find a new club. They are generally pretty good at that when they let people go. All right, before we finish, let's have a quiz.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
So two questions, a man here, seeing as we're all on board today. Last season, so the season that's just finished is the theme here. Liam, here's your first question. How many penalties did Kepa save in the Super Cup shootout?
So stinker to start.
How's question stealing going to work in this? Is it going to be carnage with four people?
Well, given the way that everybody reacted to that question, I shouldn't think it'd be a massive problem here. Kepa Arrizabalaga, bought on specifically for the shooter.
The other thing is a missed penalty is not the same as a saved penalty.
No, it's not.
Oh, God. I'm going to say two.
You are absolutely correct. You get a tick next to your name in my notepad. Dom, you're up next. I think this is probably the easiest question in the quiz. Trevor Chalobah and Marcos Alonso were amongst the scorers as Chelsea began the season with a 3-0 win against your beloved Palace. Who got the other Blues goal?
Christian Pulisic.
Is correct. Said through gritted teeth. Sam, you're up next. You and I were in the Chelsea TV commentary box for the Blues 1-1 draw with Burnley at the Bridge in November. Name either of the goal scorers from that game.
I think Havertz scored a header.
Havertz is correct. I can't remember if it was a header, but for no bonus points, can you tell me who the Burnley scorer was?
Was it Rodriguez?
It was not. It was Mate Vidra. Don't worry, that wasn't the question. Simon, who was Chelsea's biggest win of the season against?
Got to be Norwich.
Got to be Norwich. These questions are far too easy, weren't they? Everybody's on 100%.
7-0, just to...
Surely was. Liam, this is your second question. Whose first Chelsea goal came in the Champions League in October? Lots of thinking faces going on. Literal head scratching. The way Dom's looking at his screen makes me slightly concerned that he's actually looking it up. But
I'm genuinely not.
No, he's just watching replays of Christian Pulisic's goal.
I'm watching highlights of the cricket.
Gonna have to rush you, Liam.
Yeah, I know.
He does this every week and he'll get it. He'll pluck it from somewhere. We all know there's a certain amount of inevitability about this.
Saul?
Saul is incorrect. There's a steal possibility and Johnson's the first one with his hand in the air just ahead of Parkin.
I'm going Andreas Christensen.
Andreas Christensen is correct. You get a plus one.
As soon as I said Saul, I knew.
Better not call on Saul. I'm going to get so...
I'm just glad there was a lot of thinking time there. Because
there was a lot of thinking time. You might need it. All right, well...
Absolutely gutted with that.
Next up is Dom. This is your second question. How many times did Romelu Lukaku complete 90 minutes for Chelsea in the Premier League last season?
That's a brutal question. Just... Not because of the answer, but you know what I mean? Not knowing the answer. It's basically a...
Yeah.
Romelu, yeah.
Well, is it? Who knows, Simon? It might surprise you. It might be 38. It's not 38.
Eight?
Would anybody like to steal?
That's just a guess, isn't it?
It's got to be fewer, I reckon.
Can I guess?
Anybody can shout out a number.
Can I?
Six.
No. Six is incorrect. Sam?
I'll go three.
Three is very incorrect. Simon?
Very incorrect. Bruce Forsyth.
it's good having a laugh and a giggle, but if you get this, you've effectively won the quiz. So
I'm going to go... So very right. I'm going to go seven.
You're all wrong. It was 11, believe it or not, which is a surprise, right? Okay, Sam, here's your second question. Yep. Who did Chelsea beat in the semi-final of the Club World Cup?
Can he spell it as well? I'm not even going to attempt it, I don't think.
Is it fair for me to participate?
No, I was there. Yeah, you can't participate in this one.
Even I remember that one. Oh, I'll do one.
Would you like a guess before I pass it on to Liam?
Owl something or other.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah. I want to say hello, but...
Say it.
Say it.
Oh, hello. Is it...
Yes, is it correct.
How have I got that?
That's funny.
If you want to say oh, hello, just say it. There's always a chance it will be right. Okay, here's the final question of the quiz then, and it goes to you, Simon. You're already on two, so it will either be a tie... or, well, actually, it won't be if Sam pinches this, but if you get it of your own accord, you win the final quiz of the season. Big stakes here. Name all five teams Chelsea beat en route to the FA Cup final.
Oh, I'll get that, yeah.
The thing gets me, it's the first... So let me go. On the route, let's go backwards. I'm going to go, so Crystal Palace, Middlesbrough, Luton. Is that semi-final?
Three from three so far.
Plymouth.
Plymouth is correct.
And this is the one that's the non-league team, Field.
It's third round, so it was never going to be a Premier League team.
But he's toying with us.
No, but I seriously struggled with the which field it is.
No, he's on a wind-up. He's got a cigar on.
What are you talking about?
No, seriously, it's like Chesterfield and Macclesfield.
Field of Dreams.
It's not Huddersfield. Any of the fields?
I think.
Football?
You're a buffoon, Johnson.
That's a bit harsh. Chesterfield.
Yeah. Chesterfield is correct, without very much conviction, but you've won it, Simon. What a way to finish the season for you.
I was good on 4.5. Just...
You know, when I wrote that yesterday, I thought that is the most Chelsea route to an FA Cup final ever, isn't it? Chesterfield, Plymouth, Luton, Middlesbrough, Palace. My goodness me. Well done, Simon. That makes you the king of the quiz, I think. Certainly.
Well, as I have been all season.
your Stein flow would beg to differ.
Well, yes. I think how many months did it take me to actually win one? I think it was about... Took me. Remember all the banter about me sort of being like, I always said I was like the Norwich of the quiz.
You got an assist from Mal Donaghy 1 week and never looked back.
Engrave that Darren Barnard trophy, Matt, for Simon.
If only we had the budget. Right, before we go, let's have a chat about what's on The Athletic for Chelsea supporters to enjoy. And Dom, you've been putting this season under the microscope. No wonder that you got, well, only one of your two questions right. Obviously didn't look that closely at Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah, it was about highlights. Yeah, season review is up on the site, and we've got a piece on the player of the year that that Liam and Simon actually voted for as well. The Athletic's Chelsea player of the year that goes up tomorrow on Friday.
All right, I think I know who both you two will have voted for. Sam, in terms of the club's official player of the year, I went Mason Mount. Did you go with that? I know Thiago Silva was getting a lot of love too.
Should I have had a vote?
You just can vote. It's open to anybody.
Yeah, I would have gone for Mason Mount. 100% is my answer.
The numbers don't lie. Simon, your piece on the magnificence of Mike Dean and his farewell, still up there, well worth anybody's time who hasn't read it. What else are you going to be working on?
Can't believe you brushed over the whistle map part of that piece.
Well, that wasn't your input, was it, specifically?
So. You can imagine my delight when I was asked to do that. To be honest, I struggled just drawing a football pitch. I was like, I haven't got a ruler. I haven't got any utensils for this work of art. Anyway, what else am I working on? My sense of humour.
Are you still speaking?
What holidays I could take, because clearly everyone's fed up with me. And I'm doing a piece that sort of touches on what the new Chelsea might look like and some of the early sort of things that are being discussed.
Liam, it'll be time for my annual review soon. I'm doing my best to try and drive some subscriptions via the podcast link. Help me out a bit, will you? What are you writing about?
Well, as you mentioned, I've got my Fikayo Tomori piece up on site, which I'm still very keen for people to read. I had a wild Sunday in Reggio Emilia for that. And I also had a little rifle through Todd Bowley's metaphorical intro, which is a piece that I know Adam Hurry would have enjoyed. And yeah, from this point on, working on a piece about whether the numbers involved in the Chelsea sale actually make sense, the gargantuan figures that have been paid for this football club, and a couple of other big projects I can't really talk about yet, but one which is kind of more broadly looking about how Chelsea improve their recruitment process.
Athletic.com/ChelseaPod is the place to go to sign up. Sam, it occurs to me, having gone straight from being a footballer to the world of broadcast media, you probably never had cause to use an intray, have you? Have you ever even seen one?
No, I don't think I have. I've been a little bit confused by all this this chatter the last few days.
Yeah, it's a kind of, I don't know, plastic A4 size thing that you can put a stack of papers in. Much okay. More popular in the days before okay. Email, but you can still find them. You can still find them. All right, we're taking a couple of weeks off now, but we will be back soon. We're going to do one show a week throughout the summer. Oh, Lucy's got an intray. There you go. That doesn't look like a plastic one either. I think that's much more.
I'll have a pen and the pad. Maybe it's time I move to an intray.
Yeah, I just think you might find they're a little bit redundant in 2022, but we know what to get you ever pull Sam for Secret Santa this year anyway. Where was I? Summer, yes, one show a week after we come back from a couple of weeks break. Well earned for all of us, and particularly for you, listener, I'm sure. Many thanks for your company throughout this season. Thanks too to Liam, to Simon, to Dom, to Sam and to Lucy and to everybody else who's joined us throughout the campaign. Hopefully next season will be a little bit calmer, but it's Chelsea, so probably not. Thanks for listening. Speak to you soon.
The Athletic.